bless Lynn. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's again good to be here, to be with all of you together. Today we have what we call Palm Sunday. And I'm going to try to say the word palm correctly. I grew up saying palm, and I was told that is not correct. So I want to make sure I say Palm Sunday. Over the years, we've had Palm Sunday. And maybe some of us kind of have no idea as to what Palm Sunday really is about. We've got ideas. Having lived in the South for quite a while, right away you get a picture of a palm tree. A lot of those of you who go to Florida might be the first thing that you think about a palm tree. And that's one of the reasons is because of the palm leaf that was waved. Some of us might think back to some of the older ones here might think back to, I believe it's 1965, when there were some big tornadoes that came through south of here. That's the year I was born, so I would not have been here for that. But different things that go through our minds when we think about Palm Sunday. And as we look at the Gospels, each one of the Gospels has a section about Jesus entering Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And this morning I'd like to look Take some time to look a little bit at some of the things about Jesus' last journey from all the way up from Capernaum, working his way down into Jerusalem. We're going to spend just a little bit of time looking at what he did through that time, some of the prophecies that were fulfilled during that time. And then we also want to really understand, what was Jesus doing when he entered into Jerusalem? As I was studying this, I came across the feasts. There are at least seven feasts that Jesus talks about. I'm not one that's very familiar with these feasts, but as I studied these, there is so much beauty in studying what the feasts are about. Who can name the first feast? There are three feasts that took place on the weekend of Palm Sunday when Jesus entered. And they didn't call it Palm Sunday back then, but we do. What's the first feast? Can somebody tell me what the first feast is?
Feast of Unleavened Bread.
That's the second. There's another one that's first. The Passover. Unleavened Bread. What's the third?
First fruits.
And we're not going to dig into this, but it's beautiful for us to see. These took place. It's very seldom that this happened. I'm not going to try to explain it to you because it goes in circles for me. But these took place, these three took place in concession. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. No, I said that wrong. I believe it's Friday. Anyhow, let's leave that. But anyhow, the first fruits, yes, it was Sunday morning because the first fruits actually came on Sunday. Jesus rose on Sunday. He was our first fruit, Scripture tells us. That doesn't happen very often. Something for you to dig into. There's some other feasts that happen. So if you really want to understand and dig a little bit, there's some really, really good stuff in there in the Scripture that talks about these. Genesis 1:14 says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Back then in creation, he was already thinking about these feasts. The word here, seasons, and for seasons, gives us the idea of an appointed time, a sacred season, a time of feast. So he was already putting those things into play. And those feasts give us a little bit of a picture of where we are at today. I've titled my message this morning, Choosing a Lamb. I'm not sure if this guy is working or not here. But anyhow, Choosing a Lamb. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. I wasn't sure which one of these Gospels that I wanted to use this morning because they're all so good. But Luke and John have the most, or the clearest for me to understand, I guess. So if you turn to Luke 19, we're going to go through some of this. And I'm going to read from verse 28 all the way over to the end of verse 44. And then we'll come back and talk about these things a little bit. Luke 19, verse 44, and I'm reading out of the King James. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus here and his disciples. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt, tied wherein on yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why lose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That's as far as we're going to read this morning. So we have Jesus and his disciples making a journey. I have a map here, and it's going to be really, really hard for us to see on this map. But Jesus and his disciples started way up here in Capernaum. And if you start following through the testaments or the gospels, start following through the gospels, there is so much that happened through this time as they journeyed from Capernaum all the way down into Jerusalem. This is where they ended, down at the bottom here. I never realized how much the gospels speak about their journey, the miracles that were done, the things that he taught his disciples as they traveled, as they journeyed. A beautiful, beautiful picture. And this is possibly, it's hard to tell. Some of the historians disagree with this, but some would say that it's about 110 miles if you travel this way. Some would say it's about 78 miles. But it's a long distance, and they did it on foot through the desert. So it's quite a distance there. So what was Palm Sunday? Jesus coming down. He had a purpose to come down on Palm Sunday. We'll get into that here in just a little bit, but John said in one of his days when he was preaching there, he looked up and he saw Jesus coming, and this is what he said. He said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God was giving Moses and Aaron some directions as they were in Egypt. He was telling them, I need you to prepare to leave. You are going to find deliverance. Then he told them, in Exodus 12, I'm going to read some verses out of Exodus 12. You don't have to turn to these. I'll just quick read through these. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day. And if you go back to the Jewish calendar and you line this up, and I didn't do it, I'm just believing the historians what they said. But the tenth day was Palm Sunday. There's a historian that went back and he took the days in the calendar, and he followed through all of it. He said it comes out exactly to the day. Our God is the God of order. The tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor unto his house, his neighbor next unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. And think about Jesus as we read this. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day comes out to Passover of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, the 10th day, and we have the 14th day listed there. Things that were foreshadowing what was to come. Jesus came to offer himself. We'll get to that just a bit later. I want to keep putting that in there. I want you to kind of get a hunger for what we're going to say at the end here, because he came to offer himself. Luke 19:29 says, "And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage." This is the first verse in our second verse in our reading this morning. "When he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples." And I want us to look at two things that were fulfilled, two prophecies that were fulfilled. In that verse, it tells us that he came. See if I can find it here. Okay. Sorry, I got lost there for a second. Let's back up to Isaiah 40. Here is a prophecy that is made in Isaiah 40. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." I want us to pick up on that phrase, in the desert. "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." So here we have a prophecy. He talks about making straight in the desert a highway for our God. So we have Jesus and the disciples. They're coming down to Samaria here. They did not come through Samaria, so they bypassed and went back across the Jordan River, came down, again came across the Jordan River. But this is the desert area. And if we go back and we look in Scripture, there were so many things that happened that Jesus did in this desert area. He was tempted. That would have been close to Jericho back in here. Right in here. That's where the temptations took place. But there was so much that happened in the desert. So he talks here about him coming, making a way in the desert. So if Jesus came down any other way than through the desert, we're looking at him presenting himself as a lamb. So would he have come any other way than through the desert? This would not have been fulfilled. The prophecy would not have been correct. But he came through the desert. He came in from the east into Jerusalem. And if we look at Pilate, Pilate would have come from the west. And I did not research this enough, but there is also desert on the west side of Jerusalem. And I don't believe it's near as much as we have on the east, but the east side of Jerusalem is where Jesus spent his time. Again, this prophecy that says that he comes in the desert, make straight in the desert a highway for our God, was a prophecy of the direction that he was going to come into Jerusalem to present himself. Uh-oh, here we go again. As a lamb. To present himself as a lamb. So as the Jews watched this, they saw him coming in from the east. Even the disciples, later it says, they understood. They didn't catch it right at that time, but later they understood. Why a donkey? Why did Jesus not walk the rest of the way? He was close. They had walked all of this until they came right down to Bethphage. And by the way, as they came through, if you follow that scripture, they came down. I don't know what all they did throughout here. There was a lot of miracles. But they came down to Bethany. Who lived in Bethany?
Lazarus
and his two sisters. Jesus came and he stayed there. We don't know how long he stayed there, but when he went to Jerusalem, he didn't stay in Jerusalem. He again went back out to Bethany to stay with them. And I'm not sure what the purpose is of this, but Jesus came down, him and the disciples, they made it all the way down to Bethany. Why did they not continue from Bethany into Bethphage into Jerusalem on foot? Again, we come to a prophecy. Zechariah 9:9. Okay, Zechariah 9:9 says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So here we have the prophecy that he's going to come on a donkey. So what if Jesus would have showed up in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, walking, or a horse? We have a prophecy here that was being fulfilled. Why the donkey? Why couldn't he ride just like the rest of the leaders did, the rest of the rulers did, on a big white horse with a big entourage of military behind him? He didn't do that. He came with the disciples. He came on a donkey. It talks about him being meek. He didn't come as a flashy, fancy king. He came in as a king, but not the kind of king that they desired to have. The children of Israel, the Jews, were wishing for a king to come in and take over. They wanted political power. They wanted political healing. And that is not how Jesus came. He didn't come on a white horse. But there is a verse that talks about some white horses, isn't there? If we go on to Revelation, there's a verse in Revelation where it says, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. One sitting on it is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war." He's going to come for a bit of a different reason next time. He's going to come with righteousness and judgment. Or judging in righteousness, I should say. But here he came on a donkey. He was lowly and meek. But yet he was coming as a king. So he sends the guys out to get this donkey. Do you think the guys understood what was happening? Probably not. They probably didn't remember at that time. So he goes and they ask the owner, or they actually didn't even ask him. They just start untying the donkey. And the owner says, "What are you doing?" And they said, "We're taking him because he is needed." And the owner didn't make a big deal out of it. He allowed them to take it. So many things we see happening, and it's so clear to us to see that he is king. We don't understand, or they didn't understand everything then. But he's a spiritual king. He is our king. So now we come to why the palm branches and the cries of Hosanna. I want to read a couple of verses out of Matthew 21. "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna," excuse me, "to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." So we have here a picture, which we don't get in Luke, but we have here a picture. A great multitude is coming. Jerusalem was probably a city of about 80,000. The historians looked at this and they are saying possibly during that time, 2.7 to 3 million people probably came through town. It was a busy, busy, busy town. Listening to a guy talking about this week, and he said, even now, if you go back there and when they celebrate this, he said, when you go in, it is so tight. You about can't walk. You just fit in and you move with the crowd. You don't have many opportunities to go this way or that. You just move with them. So here they come and the crowd comes down. The disciples, as they come down, the disciples begin making some noise. And they're worshiping him. And you hear cries of Hosanna. The palm trees come out. They throw them. They throw the clothes on the ground. They have some clothes on the donkey. And as they come in, they're yelling Hosanna. They're waving the palm branches, and there's a lot that goes with that. But the idea of the word Hosanna is to come save us. They were still looking for political freedom. They wanted him to come in as a king and take over. He was going to, but not in the way they planned. They were expecting this Messiah to come and bring political freedom. Again, he was coming to offer himself. We go back a couple of chapters here, and we're not going to turn there. I'm just going to talk about this a little bit. But we have Zacchaeus. As Jesus was coming through, Zacchaeus stepped out. "I want to see this man. It was Zacchaeus' desire. Zacchaeus was short. He wanted to see Jesus, so he ran on up ahead. We know the story well. He ran on up ahead and he climbed up in the sycamore tree. He wanted to see Jesus. And he got to see Jesus and spent time with him. What was it about Zacchaeus that made him run ahead and climb up that tree? Was it maybe his curiosity? We don't know. But one of the things I really had to think about, that is Zacchaeus had desire. And if you paid attention to the messages that I've shared the last while, there's two things that I've talked a lot about, and that's desire and choosing. Zacchaeus had desire. He wanted to see the king. And I guess I have to ask myself this question. You can ask the same question yourself this morning. What is your desire? What is my desire? We all have desire. We all have something that we're driving towards. Is that desire to see how much I can lay up in my account? Am I watching that 401k all the time? 401k all the time? Am I watching to see how much my savings comes up? Is my desire to see myself become such a beautiful person that everybody else is looking at me like, wow, look at him. News for you. As we get older, that doesn't work. What is my desire? Again, I'm going to mention something I mentioned quite a while back. Max Lucado, his mother, was a mother of prayer. Max Lucado said she could hardly walk through her bedroom. She just wanted to stop and get on her knees by her bed where she spends many, many hours seeking God and finding fellowship with Him. Is that my desire? How much am I inclined to stop throughout the day and worship? We all have time if we desire. I find for myself it is so easy to let something else come in and take that place. What is my desire this morning? Zacchaeus had desire and God fulfilled that desire. There was salvation brought to that house that day. I'm going to mention something here I want to be careful with. Sounds like I'm finally getting sound here or something. We've seen over the past so many leaders that we have looked up to. I'm not going to mention any names, but leaders that we have looked up to that have either come to their death and found out that there was horrendous sin in their lives, or maybe they didn't come to their death yet, but they got found out. They had desire. What's my desire this morning? The direction I'm walking is a perfect result, an exact result of my desires. Think about that. Am I desiring what He wants to give me? There is so much beauty in that. I wish I could explain a little bit more. Read the Word. Get into the Word. Those of you that are here this morning, I bless you that are digging into the Word. Those of you that aren't, do it. Get in the Word, spend time with Him. Allow Him to build that desire. Nothing else matters. We're coming to the end eventually. And if we don't have that, nothing else matters. You're going to leave your bank account here. You're going to leave your fancy cars and trucks here. They're not going with you. Desire. Think about that this morning. Here's a couple of verses out of Luke 19, what we just read, that just really struck a chord with me. Verse 37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. We get loud at a ball game. We get loud because we're excited. Maybe I'm getting too loud now, Danny. You might have to turn me down. It's okay to get loud when there's a ball game. It's okay to cheer somebody on. But how loud do I get through the week with those that I meet? Am I sharing God's love? Is my life speaking loudly to them? There's something different. If we don't have it in here, it's not going to happen. We're going to be like everybody else on the job. We're going to be like everybody else that we meet throughout the week. Marcus said something this morning. I think it was Marcus that said something this morning about... now it's going, Marcus, sorry.
Are we Jesus to somebody?
That's what I want it right there. Are we Jesus to somebody? Have you been Jesus to somebody this week? Have we seen Jesus? Have we looked for Him? Have we sought? Have we asked Him mornings before we leave, God, send somebody into my path today that I can touch with Your love? That's why we're here. We're believers. We have His love in our heart. And if we don't take it and share it with those around us, I'm going to guess eventually, if we don't put out, there's going to be death. Share His love and watch what begins to happen in your heart. I get excited when somebody comes to me and shares Christ with me. I remember a lady over in Three Rivers. I was working over there, and there was a lady there. I was mowing a yard years ago, and I got out. She came out of the house, and I went over, and we talked a little bit, and I made a comment about Jesus, and quickly her arms went up. Hallelujah! She was excited. Because there was a chord that struck there. It was the same thing. We both were serving the same God from what I could tell. Can people see that you are serving Jesus? I want to bring this to a close this morning. But we looked at prophecies. We looked at different things that happened in this whole story. He came in. He was riding on a donkey. Jesus and His disciples came in for two reasons. The first reason they came in is to choose a lamb. That's what Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday now, that's the reason they came to Jerusalem. They were coming in to choose a lamb for the Passover. And I don't know how the families did this. Did they all trail together? Did the dads go in? It was a full house, but how did they come in to choose their lamb? I don't know, but they were supposed to pick the lamb according to size for their family. If it was too much, share some with the neighbors. But they had a purpose for coming into town, to choose that lamb. So Jesus and His disciples, they were coming in to choose a lamb for the sacrifice. But it went way beyond that. Jesus came in on this donkey to show something else. Jesus came in to show that I am a lamb that is willing to sacrifice, to lay down my life for everybody in this town. He came in as a lamb to sacrifice His life for everybody that sits here today. That's why He came. Yeah, I know we talk about Jesus choosing us. But in a sense, we're choosing a lamb. We also are choosing a lamb. Preachers sometimes get burdens as they study. And the thing that really spoke into my heart as I was looking at this is all of us here this morning still have the opportunity. We're still breathing. We still have the opportunity to choose. Yesterday there was a lot of people that opportunity came to an end. God gave me life this morning. He gave you life. At this point, you still have that opportunity to choose. Desire, choose. Am I taking this offer for granted? The Lord willing, this week, we're going to be looking more at Jesus' suffering. We're going to end the Lord willing Sunday with His resurrection. And hopefully when we talk about communion a bit, when I share a message on communion, I like to touch a bit on the blood. So I ask this question this morning. Am I taking His offer for granted? Or am I taking Him as the ultimate sacrifice? that nobody else could do, that he did specifically for me and for you. Is my life showing that? Story goes of May 29th, 1914, there was a ship. The Empress of Ireland was sailing in the Canadian waters of the St. Lawrence River. It was real foggy that day. And as they drove along, as they floated along, there was a coal freighter that came into the front of them, in the side of them, I guess, and they struck. There were 1,024 people that lost their lives that day. There were 465 that survived. Traveling on the Empress were 167 Salvation Army officers planning to attend an international conference in London. The story goes that when the Salvation Army officers realized there were not enough life preservers for everyone on board, those that had life jackets took them off and strapped them onto the others, saying, "I know Jesus, so I can die better than you can." Thought about wearing a life jacket this morning. And I had to think to myself this morning, would I be wearing a life jacket this morning? Would I be willing to take it off? Am I at that place that I know if my ship sinks, I'm okay? I'm saved. I know where I'm going. I hope all of us this morning can say, "I take my life jacket, not put it on somebody else." If not, you still have opportunity. See, the fact is, in a church like this that we grew up in, not just our church, Baptist church, any church that we grew up, most of us here this morning have probably grown up in churches. We know the language well, don't we? We know how to make it look good. And I'm not pointing fingers at you. Been there. I knew how to make it look good. I knew how to make it look good and be in sin the rest of the week. But show up for church and make a good impression. But I came to a day when I said, "Lord, I'm done. Today I'm done. It's not for you." Has it been easy? No. You can all say that with me probably. It's not been easy. But when I can go to bed at night and I can close my eyes and I know it's all good, it's well worth it. So here's my challenge. Take into consideration the price Jesus paid to buy your freedom. And make a decision, if you haven't yet, to say yes. You still have time. Have I chosen Jesus, the Lamb? He chose me. Am I accepting that choosing? Danny is going to play a song here after I lead in a word of prayer. Sorry, Aaron, I don't see Aaron here, but I didn't say anything to Aaron about this. But Danny's going to play a song this morning. And I like for us during this song, we're going to stand. I like for us to think, is he really worthy? Is my life expressing that? So Holy Spirit moves in your life this morning, your heart this morning. You're welcome to come to the altar. If there's anything in your life that you would like to make sure. Maybe you just like to renew something. Maybe you want to stay right where you're at. But I challenge you, as this song plays, let's worship. Let's worship him with clean hands. And if your hands aren't clean, we can come here where they can be washed and they can be clean. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning so much for coming and being our sacrifice, being that lamb. God, you know my desire. Thank you so much for not giving up on me. Thank you for continuing to move. And I'm asking, Lord, this morning, as your Spirit moves amongst us here, prompt us, Lord, to hear you, to be obedient to you. I pray, Lord, that the worship this morning will be sweet to you. And if we have hands that are unclean, Lord, I pray that you would clean them as we come to you.
And we ask. That's what you ask of us to do, Lord, to ask. And you'll be there for us. So simple. We just want to thank you for giving your life for us, making a way for us. Lord, as we go through this week, as we think on you giving your life, you resurrecting, I pray, Lord, that it would become real to us and that it would change our walk. We want to bless you. We want to thank you. You are so good to us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? And Danny, play the song.
Thank you.